Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Meanwhile, on planet Earth now, Legs is with us. You're a big golf fan, right?
So yes, love it.
This is Hideki Matsuyama hitting his approach shot, and watch where it stops, Legs.
Let's take a look. I haven't seen
it. Wait for it.
All right.
Wait for it.
All right.
On the walking bridge.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Now, listen, I now play some golf in Florida.
Yes.
I'm not going near that ball because of the Gators.
No. I know.
I'm not going anywhere near that ball. I'm sorry.
I'll take
the penalty stroke. That's amazing.
Double bogeyed the hole.
I guess he did.
Off the bridge, double bogeyed the hole. He was disqualified later, by the way, in that. Isn't it crazy, right, that would happen?
Yes.
Right.
Incredible.
Gators. You seen a gator, like, running across the course? I have.
Well, someone's sunning by the trap on the 18th.
And what did you do?
On the 18th hole. What do you think I did? I made sure.
Ran.
I usually hit a fade, and that's where he was.
Right.
So I snap hooked it. Because I was not going anywhere near that water. I can tell you that right now.
That was your excuse.
Exactly right.
All right. Exactly right. Welcome back to Get Up, everybody. We're live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. Hannah is in for Greeny. Obviously, he is on NBA duty. So let's start this right there. Game of the night. What a stunning, stunning game by the Celtics down the stretch, Legs. And Vince Carter's going to join us in a moment. So, you know, you have the Warriors. They're 9-0 at home. You have Jason Tatum. He cannot hit anything last night. Steph was so hot early on.
Well, you couldn't script a better start for Curry or for the Warriors. And he took advantage of some mistakes by the Boston Celtics. Walk into a three out of the backcourt. Here, total miscommunication. And this is where the Warriors get you. There's guard screens. Two guys go with pull. He ends up with another wide open look. Incredible start to the series for Steph Curry.
Yeah, a record 6 three-pointers in the first quarter. And in the third, they dropped 38 points. There's Curry.
Yeah, and he's so good that this looks easy. I can't even comprehend the difficulty of this shot. That kind of touch from that distance on a finger roll.
Even Andre Iguodala, he's hitting threes.
Yeah, what a luxury to have a former Finals MVP rejoin your team in time for the NBA Finals. He came out and knocked down a couple of shots as well. Everything going the Warriors' way, at least through three.
Yeah, so they lead by 12. They're at home. What do the Celtics do? They come out firing. Jaylen Brown leading the way.
Yeah, remember going into this game, Boston had 7 road wins already in the first 3 rounds. And Jaylen Brown, to me, saved the night for them with this little mini individual run he had at the start of the fourth quarter when Golden State had a double-digit lead. He got cooking, and then it started to set up the role players with these three-point shots.
It's on Derek White, midseason pickup there. Al Horford in his first ever NBA Finals. He led scoring, 26 for the Celtics.
Yeah, he had a 30-point game earlier in the postseason doing this exact thing. He's such a tough matchup now because of his ability to step out and spread the floor here, getting on the glass as well. And then one more time to the corner for Marcus Smart, who also had a big fourth quarter.
9 of 12 from three-point range. They were literally beating Golden State at their own game, and they held the Warriors to just 16 points in that final frame.
Yeah, and here it just basically Golden State overextended now because of the three-point line. You get an easy one late. Give the Celtics credit. They were so good late.
And they steal home court. Game one comeback win. Here's Ime Udoka.
Yeah, that's kind of who we've been all year. Tough grinders, you know, a resilient group that we can always know we can rely on our defense to kind of buckle down when needed. Impressive against a really elite scoring team.
They hit 21 threes, and Marcus Smart, Al Horford, and Derek White combined for 15 of them.
My gut reaction, just what I just witnessed, was they just came in, played a hell of a fourth quarter, and you got to give them credit. And it's pretty much as simple as that.
Draymond there, he was like, go figure this. I mean, no one saw this coming. The Celtics turning up the heat in the final 12 minutes, outscoring Golden State 40-16. That 24-point margin is tied for the largest of any quarter in an NBA Finals game, as Boston connected on no less than 9 threes, tied for the most in any quarter in Finals history, as Vince Carter is back with us. Legs, what was your reaction when you saw that?
Holy hell, what the hell am I watching right now? I really literally never seen anything like that. Not that dramatic of a turnaround on both ends. Like, you can see a team that's down get hot like that to get themselves back in the game, but at the exact same time, to shut off Golden State's water on the other end of the floor, to see that dramatic of a turnaround after a third quarter in which Golden State looked like they had completely established control of the game. And I think what it really points to, and Ime Udoka hit on it with his postgame comments, this team believes, particularly on the road, there is no situation too big for them because their defense will give them time to get back into it because they're going to string together stops. And now it's a matter of, can we make shots during that time? And that's exactly what they put together. And Steve Kerr said, it was a hell of a fourth quarter. Dead wrong. That was a perfect fourth quarter. You cannot play better basketball than the Boston Celtics did for that 12 minutes.
8-2 on the road. The old adage, defense travels. But they were also raining threes, which just made it so stunning, Vince. What did you think when you saw that?
Yeah, it was Jaylen Brown being aggressive early. And from there, the adjustment was to go play a little smaller, put Robert Williams on the bench and allow Al Horford to be the five, the stretch five, to open the floor up a little bit to allow him to get downhill. Because now you see Horford's ability to shoot the three. It opens the floor up. Now the bigs who are helping, you have to account for his ability to shoot the ball because Golden State does a great job with Draymond and Looney of helping. And you can see there, Draymond was a little hesitant. It's just Al Horford. Well, Al Horford is shooting at a high clip. And once he got rolling, he was rolling. And he was hotter than fish grease. But the thing about it is the ball movement and the floor open. Brown getting downhill, either a layup or making the right play. And even Jason Tatum, like you said, Hannah, did not shoot the ball well, but he made the right plays and got the ball to the guys who were hot and knocking down shots.
And we always focus on Jason Tatum, but Jaylen Brown, 10 points and 5 assists. Horford said afterwards they saw him and what he was doing, and everybody else keyed on that.
Yeah, through the first three quarters, I made a comment last night. I said, man, you know, Boston's in serious trouble if the top two offensive players are going to come from the Golden State Warriors. And at that time, it was Curry and Wiggins were the two best offensive players in the game. So you say, which one of these two stars was going to finally get it going? And it was Jaylen Brown. And look, this is a guy that's got an electric dribble, right? And he's got so much athletic ability. If he gets certain matchups that he likes and he can get to that middle area of the floor and just elevate and starts making mid-range shots, now you've got a problem. And I just thought that his run was so critical to this team because think about it. If he struggles during that stretch and Tatum still hasn't gotten going to that point, you still have a 10-12 point deficit with six minutes to go. Golden State's going to win that game. So Jaylen Brown closed the gap. And then the role players closed the deal. I mean, that's really how that fourth quarter played out. Give him all the credit in the world for stepping up when they had to have one of those two guys get hot.
Vince?
Well, I agree. And I think, you know, we have to give Jaylen Brown some credit. He understands who he is and how he fits on this team. Yes, we talk about Jason Tatum, and we don't talk about Jaylen Brown all the time. And we don't talk about his ability, obviously, to make plays for others. I mean, yes, sometimes Jason Tatum and Brown get caught into being overly aggressive or just the decision-making as far as turning the ball over. Because when they turn the ball over, Boston Celtics historically don't win. But this last night, he was making the right plays as well as being aggressive, getting into the paint. And he is the 1B to this team. He is very capable. Like you said, Lex, he could take over a game like Jason Tatum, but we always see or talk about Jason Tatum's ability to take over only. And he was great for their team, and they responded to him being the aggressor and not just Jason Tatum.
The Celtics keep those two guys together despite a lot of people chirping that maybe they shouldn't have. And they also bring aboard Horford. They bring him back. They bring in White. All of those players were so huge last night down the stretch. But let's talk about Steph Curry. So we had those historic 6 three-pointers scoring 21 points in the first quarter, highest scoring finals quarter since MJ back in 93. But then he really cooled off after that, just 5 of 10 from the field against Marcus Smart, just 2 of 6 after the first quarter. He had actually taken more shots, 16, than he had points, 13. So what happened with Steph?
Well, first of all, they corrected the miscommunications they had early in the game. I mean, they gave him some wide open looks at the start that clearly he's a guy you target, and they just did not execute in the first 6 minutes. And now you've got this guy, and he's cooking and feeling it. So that lasted for a quarter. After that, the adjustments in it, particularly at halftime, they got further extended. They didn't make those mistakes anymore on the switches. Horford and Williams were up much higher on ball screens. They got into him, I think, physically. You know, the game's going to allow that in the final. So I thought, you know, you look, get Marcus Smart on you for an extended period of time into your hip when you're handling the ball. It's going to drain your legs. And I think Steph Curry ran out of gas a little bit there late. And also, he's used to somebody else getting hot to make it easier for him, and it just never really happened. I mean, Klay Thompson, Jordan Poole in particular, never really got going in this game, so it was all on Steph. He felt it. He knew it. Now he's pressing a little bit late in the game while they're giving up threes every possession on the other end. All of that just snowballed really against him. I think he's more who he was in the first quarter than who he was the last three quarters. At least they better hope so going forward in this series.
Yeah, but we've seen this Celtics team shut down superstar after superstar in these playoffs. What were they doing defensively against Steph?
Well, what they were doing, well, first of all, he got in foul trouble. I think he got out of rhythm in the second quarter moving on. But they made him have to guard multiple actions. Second efforts, yes. He didn't want to switch on some of the guys, so they put him in pick and roll. Yes, he's going to show and try to get back to his man. Now, when he shows, they're actually throwing to that guy, making him have to defend that action as well. Then he goes on the other end, and he gets beat up a little bit by Marcus Smart. If he's on Jaylen Brown, like you see there, Jaylen Brown takes him to the post, beat him up a little bit, just to get into those legs, because you have to take advantage of every opportunity when you're talking about Steph Curry because of his ability to dominate the game with the three-point shot like we saw in the first quarter.
I mean, so Steph scores 34 in the end. Jason Tatum only 12, and Boston supporting cast outscored Golden State's by 34 points. So who really needs to step up? If Steph is struggling, who needs to be that number two?
It's Klay and Poole. I'd put more emphasis on Poole from this standpoint. He can do a little bit more in transition with his dribble. And just in general, being aggressive, he just looked uncomfortable. He looked uncomfortable the entire night.
He's you think it was his first finals game?
I think so. He's a young player, first final stage. And I think the other thing, maybe that was a little bit distracting to him, honestly, was the start that Steph Curry had. Because now you're like, okay, it's going to be Steph Curry here for a while. Whereas Jordan Poole is typically used to, as soon as he gets in the game, the ball's in his hands. He's like, go time. Well, now you got this guy that was hot. Maybe that also had his foot off the gas pedal. But once he did think about trying to get aggressive, Marcus Smart deflected the ball from him a couple times. He got into him out on the floor. He was giving it up too easily. He's going to look at himself in that film, and he's not going to recognize the guy he saw all year. I think he's going to challenge himself. He'll be better in game two.
Is that what you saw?
I'm going to say yes. I agree with you, Legs. I'm going to say Klay and Poole. But I'm going to say Klay first because he's been in this moment before and he understands, you know, it doesn't rattle him. It's just getting himself going. And I think that would ease and make things a little easier on Poole to be the other scorer. You know, I think if Klay is aggressive, now Poole can go out there. But if we're like, okay, Klay's not aggressive, Poole, you got to go while he's trying to kind of soak in the moment. And let me be clear. I think Poole will be better now that he got game one out of the way, and you'll see a better Poole in general. You'll see a better Golden State Warriors in general. I think getting Poole on the run, get him on the move a little bit, getting the ball with a live dribble instead of him trying to play one-on-one a little bit against a Marcus Smart, because you didn't want Steph Curry to play one-on-one against Smart. You put him in pick and roll. So I would run some of those same plays for Poole like I do with Steph Curry.
Hey, listen, we're going to see adjustments, but the fact of the matter is the Celtics have stolen home court in the NBA Finals. So coming up, Steph was cooking early. The Warriors fall apart late. Is it time to panic for Golden State? Could that possibly be? And from the NFL, he's absent once again. Is there an issue? What's happening with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens? Are they hesitant to give him everything he wants?
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Get Up. We're going to play a little game. We got Legs in the house. It's called Blip or Trend. So, Legs, Steph Curry scored 34 points. Blip or Trend?
I'm going to say Blip. I mean, that's a big number. I think he's going to be, you know, in that 25 to 30 point range more often in this series. But I think if he's getting 34, I actually think that might be a bad sign because other guys are not doing what they need to. I think 25 for him, and then you get 35-40 out of Poole and Thompson. Now you've got a winning formula.
All right, he needs some help, Steph. Okay, meanwhile, Al Horford, first finals game. He scores 26. Blip or Trend?
That's got to be a blip. If that's not a blip, then they should just shut the series down, because if Al Horford is going to punish them to the extent he did offensively last night, there's just too many things now you've got to deal with for the Boston Celtics. There's going to be more attention paid in terms of how they rotate to Al Horford in game two. So again, it's a big number. I expect him to play great. He's been great the entire postseason, but 26, if it happens again in this series, the Warriors are in serious trouble.
Yeah, he was perfect in that fourth quarter run. And Jason Tatum scores only 12. I have a feeling I know your answer here. Yeah. Blip or Trend?
Yeah, that's a definite blip. He's just too good. And look, he did what he had to do, and this is why he's now an all-league player. He beat you in other ways last night, and he can continue to do that. But there's no question he is going to find his rhythm at some point sooner rather than later. And if I had to lay money on it, I'd say he has a huge bounce back in game two.
All right, much more from the NBA Finals coming up. What to make of Jason Tatum's performance last night, because he also had 13 assists, a career high. And what happens when he does start hitting from the field? Watch out. All right, meanwhile, Diana Rossini is back with us. Let's run the hurry up, starting with Baker Mayfield. So, Diana?
Hannah, here we are in June, right? It's June, and Baker Mayfield is still a Cleveland Brown, okay? So we know that there's been some talks about them possibly trading him, but the Browns haven't been able to find a team that wants to take on his contract that is fully guaranteed around $19 million. But here's the thing that we got to keep an eye on. Mandatory mini camp on June 14th. Is he going to show up? I was told no decision has been made. Camp also in San Francisco. This will also be interesting to see if Deebo Samuel will show up. We know he requested a trade, and yesterday GM John Lynch sounded very confident that they're going to be able to get a deal done. He basically said he would be a fool if he were to trade his wide receiver slash running back. So it seems like things are going to work out there, and he also suggested like things were starting to come together. Now, things that we don't know where they stand at this point right now is Lamar Jackson, okay? So from what I can gather from having a few conversations with people in the organization over the last few months, this is all on Lamar. When Lamar Jackson is ready to talk money, when he wants to talk about this contract extension, he will go to them. Again, he's representing himself, of course. And I was told that he is expected to show up for mandatory minicamp in about a week and a half as well. So he will be there. The big question marks will be Baker and Deebo Samuel there. So we'll see where we go with Lamar.
All right. Well, meanwhile, here's a look at the highest paid current quarterback deals based on average per year. Aaron Rodgers pacing the market, making just over $50 million per in his contract, followed by Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen. As we know, Lamar skipping OTAs for the first time. Minicamp begins, and look at RC. He is shaking his head. He has his fingers to his temples. RC, your thoughts?
You just said Aaron Rodgers is making $50 million a year.
Yep.
Oh my God. If I was Lamar, I would have moonwalked into the office and asked for my money with all I've done for that organization. I just don't understand it, Hannah. Why is Lamar Jackson not getting this contract done, especially with the way the Baltimore Ravens use him? I would love to see him have that security, have that guaranteed money. And I get it. I know where Lamar Jackson's from. This is the richest that he's ever been, but he has an opportunity to be wealthy for generations. I want Lamar to come to the table, get this deal done, so he can play free of the burden of having to worry about injury and go win that Super Bowl that he wants so badly.
But you just heard Diana say that the indications are that he is going to show up for mandatory minicamp. Do you think he should?
You know what? I don't know why he shouldn't. Just show up. I don't think he should step on the field, but if it's about being in the building, about being around your team, it's not like he's going to hold out from training camp. Yeah, you could show up. I wouldn't throw a pass. I wouldn't run a warm-up drill. I wouldn't stretch. I wouldn't touch my heels. I wouldn't put on cleats. I would walk out there in some slides and some sunglasses and in some Hoochie Daddy shorts because it's the summertime. If I'm Lamar Jackson, all I'm worried about is getting to the season, being healthy, and getting my money.
But Diana, this is, I mean, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, this is the beautiful mystery right here, right? Like, what the heck is going on?
Look,
has he, right, so, to our knowledge, demanded money and the team is not meeting his demands? Like, I mean, what's happening here?
Yeah, the sense I get is he really doesn't want to get into it. He wants to keep his focus on football, which, you know, you hear Ryan lay out, well you got to kind of do it. You have to deal with your business because it's coming. There is always those concerns about getting injured. And look, we've seen quarterbacks in the past like Dak Prescott, essentially, you know, we saw what happened with his knee, his leg there, and he was still able to get paid. The question here, though, Hannah, is going to be what kind of money is Lamar Jackson going to get paid? I feel very confident here on the show saying to you, he's going to get paid a lot of money. It's just what range is it going to fall in? Is it going to be that top quarterback market money that we're seeing right now, like we just pointed out, Aaron Rodgers and Sean Watson? Or is it going to be around that Dak Prescott range? So this is something that we literally are all just going to have to show some patience and just wait for him to come to the table and begin these negotiations. Otherwise, he'll probably play and the Ravens will just franchise tag him. Either way, he's winning. He's going to be a very rich man.
Yeah. So should he be paid elite quarterback money, RC, quickly before I let you go?
Yes. Yes. He should be paid elite quarterback money. And the other thing is this. You know who loves money, Hannah? Agents. Agents love money. They want their 3%. If he had an agent, they would have been at the table because they want that dough. Get that elite money, Lamar. Then go play your ball.
Bingo. He's not going to have to pay that percentage. And the longer he waits, the higher that price goes. All right. See you guys in a bit. Coming up, more on the Warriors' epic fourth quarter collapse last night in game one. What happened? How do they bounce back on Sunday? And oh, by the way, Jason Tatum, he couldn't get a shot last night. And it didn't even matter. Is that a recipe for disaster for the Warriors? We're talking about it next on Get Up. Also, a little sneaky hambo time. This one's for legs. All right, you ready, legs?
Let's do it.
What is the last team to win the NBA Finals after losing game one at home?
It's tough.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We'll have game two of the Eastern Conference Final for you tonight right here on ESPN and the app. The Rangers lead the Lightning after that stunning 6-2 game win over the two-time defending champs. Our coverage begins at 8 Eastern from Madison Square Garden. Back to sneaky hembo time. Legs is here. What was the last team to win the NBA Finals after dropping game one at home like the Warriors did last
night? I don't look these up. I'm trying to remember.
Okay.
Did Dallas lose game one at home to the Heat and come back to win that series?
You got something part of that correct. One of the teams.
Well, yeah, I said
there.
A lot there. So
it was,
there was a loss in game one. And
it was the correct answer is the Heat.
Oh.
Yes. Oh, in 2013, close. They dropped.
During that same time frame.
All right. That was not close. That's not consistent.
I said heat. I did say the word heat.
That's not
close.
A win.
That offered,
Hembo,
to me,
Hembo,
that's close.
Hembo.
Close in golf,
is,
Hannah, in golf, that's a gimme. That's yeah, we call
yeah,
that a gimme.
Yeah. Well, that's all close right? And no cigar for you. Okay. So the Heat won that series in seven. All right. Let's get to last night. The Warriors trying to become the next team to come back and win a series after dropping game one at home. And listen, they look great through the first three quarters, especially Steph Curry in the first.
Yeah, got rolling, came out, got some separation and some space, blew some coverages. He took advantage of it. The last thing you want to see if you're Ime Udoka is Steph Curry with open looks to start the game.
Yeah, but you know what? The fourth quarter was all Celtics, and Jaylen Brown got him going.
Yeah, he got him going at the start there. Down double digits, and Jaylen Brown got into a little mini run. And then, man, did he get some help from the law firm of Horford, Brown, and White.
Yeah, listen, midseason pickup, White, he had it rolling. So did Al Horford in his very first finals game.
Such a tough cover because he just stands out there. The guy that's guarding him is in the paint, usually helping. He's knocking down threes, getting on the offensive glass as well. Great vision. And Marcus Smart tees one up to put them up 11.
9 for 12 from three-point range. They were beating the Warriors at their own game down the stretch. Here was their final 120-108. Look at Steph's expression, the Splash Brothers, after the loss.
It's about winning four games by any means necessary. And for 42 minutes, we did enough to win the game tonight. That's not how the basketball works. So I think everything starts to become on the table when you look at trying to get ourselves back in the series on Sunday and taking it from there.
It was a tough loss, especially the way we did lose, you know, squandering a 15-point lead, very, very rare for us. So it's not the end of the world, and we'll regroup tomorrow. We'll bring a much better effort on Sunday.
And with last night's loss, the Warriors fall to 21-3 in game ones in the postseason under Steve Kerr. That's how little they have lost a game one. Now, they lost game one, and then they lost to the NBA Finals in 2019 to Toronto. But they did rally from a 3-1 deficit in the 2016 Conference Finals to beat the Thunder in seven games after dropping game one at home. We know they can win on the road. They've done that in 26 straight series. So Vince Carter back with us. Celtics won on a 17-0 run. What did you see? How did they do that? That stunning turnaround in the fourth.
It's absolutely incredible what happened simultaneously on both ends of the floor. And for me, it was a couple of things. I think first, it starts with the Celtics' offense and what Jaylen Brown did to stabilize them. He gave them confidence by him taking over the game at the start of the fourth. And then what you got was between Tatum and Brown, you had a whole lot of guys defensively overloading to them. And now Golden State was in scramble mode trying to chase the basketball. Give the Celtics credit because I said last night they looked like the Warriors offensively at their best the way that they moved it in the fourth quarter. They didn't just kick it out to one guy and he shot it. They had multiple reversals, Golden State chasing it, trying to catch up to it. And then it takes nerve to step up and knock down these shots. So I thought offensively really is where the game started to turn for the Celtics. And then once they sensed they could win the game, man, did they clamp down defensively in that last 6-7 minutes. But for me, it was the shot making that gave them confidence that they could win the game. And Jaylen Brown started the whole thing.
I mean, Vince, the Warriors only scored 16 points. They're outscored 40-60 in the fourth quarter. What were you seeing?
Leg said it all. I mean, you were seeing just a confident, focused Boston Celtics team, then you say, who doesn't have the finals experience, but they understand the moment and they understand if we play basketball the right way, we have a chance. And Jaylen Brown led the charge. Their superstar, Jason Tatum, wasn't scoring offensively, but he was making the right plays as well, assisting and getting the ball to the right guys. And once they changed their lineup to play small ball, Al Horford at the five, the floor is open. Now you see a penetration from any guard or ball handler of Boston Celtics, draw the help side, and guess who's wide open feasting? Al Horford. And if not, you see a swing ball movement to Pritchard, to White, to Smart. Anybody who is open, not only were they taking him, they were making him.
I mean, you referenced it moments ago. Did Golden State run out of gas? I mean, they had a week off coming into this game.
Yeah, but I don't think necessarily it's like a conditioning thing. I think that's what the Celtics defense can do to you. And all
wears
that,
you down.
Their length, their physical. There's going to be more physicality when you get to this time of the year off the dribble. So that wears on you over time. And you just saw their offense get pushed further and further out on the floor. You know the one thing missing from their offense in that 6-7 minute stretch? Where are the back cuts? Where are the slips? Where are the guard split screen action where they get somebody diving and somebody popping? It really became very stagnant, and they were pushed out on the perimeter so far, they became one-dimensional. And that plays right into Boston's hands because they're so long in contesting shots.
All right, let's go panic meter, all right, after this, Vince. So on a scale of 1 to 10, they've lost home court right away in this series. Where do you put the panic meter for the Warriors?
I'm on low panic. I'm at 5 or below because I think they will bounce back. They will make adjustments. They understand the moment. They're going to go back and get a win. They, meaning the Golden State Warriors, and now take it on to Boston.
1 to 10, I'll give it at about a 3 or 4 right now. I agree with Vince. Listen, expected both teams to win on the road in this series. So, all right, there you go. First shot fired. Boston has now fired over their bow. All right, they didn't sink them. Right, it's not Battleship. They didn't hit them with a torpedo yet. They won a game on the road. Now, obviously, Golden State has to win game two. But I think Golden State will win a game in Boston. And now you reestablish home court. So not time to get overly concerned yet, but they've got to clean up some things for sure.
Okay, but our friends in the desert at Caesars
Correct.
Have now made the Celtics the favorite. And if somebody told you that Jason Tatum was going to shoot 3 for 17 and they were going to win by 12, you wouldn't have believed it. But that's exactly what happened last night. Look at Tatum's numbers. He did, however, have 13 assists. That was a career high, and it tied Hall of Famer Bob Cousy in 1960 Game 3 for the most assists in a finals game when shooting less than 20% from the floor. Yes, somebody actually did figure that out. And anytime we can see Slick Leonard on a full screen, in my book, that's pretty good.
We in the championship. We in the finals. You know, all I was worried about was trying to get a win. And we did. And that's all that matters at this point. So, you know, I don't expect to shoot that bad again. But if it means we keep winning, I'll take it.
All right, so no harm there. You certainly wouldn't expect this to happen again. But how do you view that game by Tatum? How do you put it in perspective, Vince?
You know, as a superstar, being in a superstar moment, I've been in these moments where if you're not scoring, you're not seeing the ball go in, you have to affect the game some other way. And he did that by still assisting and making the right play, getting guys who are playing well open shots. Because think about this. He didn't shoot the ball well, but he still demanded all of the eyes. He still demanded all the attention. You still saw the Golden State Warriors shrink the defense when he had the ball, and he got off the ball to either Jaylen Brown or open shooters and are knocking down shots.
But we've seen players when they have trouble shooting. I mean, think about 3 for 17, and then all of a sudden they're not playing defense. And so the whole game, you know, is not good. But he was able to put that in the back of his mind. Did that
evolution.
Impress you?
It's the evolution of a young star. That's why he's an all-league player now. But think about something, too. Mm-hmm. Something's been injected into this series that Golden State's dealing with right now, and Boston's not. It's this. The narrative around who's going to be finals MVP. Just think about how absurd the discussion is going into a series already talking about it, because people are like, well, Steph, he's got to get it because he should have had one by now. And I'm not saying that affected their team last night, but what I'm saying is Jason Tatum is not hearing that going into the series. So when he's out there and he's 3 for 12, 3 for 13, 3 for 14, those kind of thoughts aren't going through his head. His comment was beautiful. He said, at this time of the year, the only thing that matters is getting to 4. And we have one.
Okay.
And that's
so
all I care
about. So you're saying the pressure was off. The pressure
Completely.
Was not on Tatum
Completely.
Last night. And Vince, you agree with that?
Yeah, the pressure is not on him to win the MVP, but the pressure for him is to play well and get the job done for his team. And yes, it wasn't scoring. Like, we look in the stat sheet, and the first thing we look at, scoring. What did they do? What did they do? But what did we watch the game to see his effectiveness? And that was him assisting. 13 assists is saying something.
All right. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, we got to bring RC back because RC shows up in all of his sartorial splendor routinely here. And so did Jason Tatum last night. So what about this fit?
Hey, Legs, can you pull this off?
You know I ain't pulling that off. Come on, man. Hey, you know better than that.
I can't either, brother.
No, Vince, I think you can, man. What Vince, I, love I think Vince though, can pull that off.
No, sir.
Hey.
RC, do you like
what
it?
I love about
I mean, what do you think
I
of the
love
fit?
It.
You
I love it.
It.
He dressed like the entire NBA countdown crew. He got a little bit of Greeny, a little bit of Stephen A., some Mike Wilbon. He definitely got some Jalen Rose. So he got the whole crew in one jacket. That is superstar level. That is all NBA. And you know what? Maybe the pink threw his shot off a little bit. So next game, he's going to come in a little subdued, and those three-pointers are going to be falling, and he might still add the 13 assists. When you got a hairline like Jason, well, Tatum, y'all, you can wear anything.
Right. The left
but
half
RC,
was a shooting and the right half was a passing. What were you going to say, VC?
But, right. But no, RC, you got to tell her what you said. He had on the Gordon Gartrell. Come on, man. Tell her.
That's the Gordon Gartrell. That is the Gordon Gartrell. Denise made that for Theo way back in the day. We have seen this already on The Cosby Show. This ain't new. We already seen this.
Hey,
Jason Tatum just brought
I'm
it
envious.
Back and he brought
I'm
it a sports
envious.
Coat.
I wish I could pull that off, man. If I wore that, I would immediately, my family members would immediately have some sort of intervention. They're thinking, something's going on, man. We got to get up there and help him out. I couldn't do it. But, hey, Jason Tatum, give him credit. He can pull that off.
You know, but the way he shot last night, you got to put that thing away. Put that in the closet. We'll wear that another time or maybe
still get
never.
A W.
That's true. Coming up, Steph was cooking
it's a
early,
winning suit.
And that wasn't his only memorable moment of the night. RC was tweeting about it, and he will explain next on Get Up.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
It's time for Ryan Clark to explain his tweet. Get in the gym, bro. Well, I just got buffalo chicken dip. Baker.
Bruh. Lord.
As everyone laughs at the way I read your tweet. I can't even do it with a straight face.
All right, so Hannah Storm in for Greeny for, I'm pretty sure, the most challenging segment of the show, given
it's
what we just saw.
It's not bad this time. It's not bad.
RC back to explain his tweets. NBA Finals edition. Okay, Kevon Looney is definitely Kendrick Perkins' little cousin, I'm convinced, down to the running form. RC, explain.
I was watching Kevon Looney at the free throw line, and I was like, golly, he looks like Perk. And no, he doesn't have the beard, and he hasn't filled out quite like Perk has in his later years of life, but he looks just like him. And then he started jogging down the court, and I was like, oh my gosh, that gotta be Perk's little cousin. They at least train together, they from the same city or something, because they look exactly alike, they play alike. Somebody did tweet me that he shoots better free throws than Perk, and that
oh,
is
nice.
True.
Oh, nice. All right, how about this one? Explain this. Why would Tice back up when Steph came off the screen? The man out here shooting like Doc Holliday in Tombstone. And he's sitting back like his Huckleberry. Oh, please, RC. Please
first off,
explain.
First off, we all know Doc Holliday was a bad boy. He had some type of disease that was finna kill him, and he was shooting people behind his back. That's who Steph Curry was in the first quarter last night. And Daniel Tice is backing up off of him, letting this dude shoot. He is putting on for light-skinned men all around the world. Drake right now is making a new song about it. And you gonna back up off of Steph Curry in that moment? They fixed it. They got it together in the second half. But at that point, I was like, Daniel Tice don't need to play more if he's backing off a screen when Steph Curry already hit 5 threes in the first quarter.
All right, let's see. We had Tombstone there. We had Drake. You know, it was all kind of like a beautiful mind here. Okay, so here's the final one. You said it's one thing for Steph to be able to shoot the rock, turn around before it hits the net. Man, what a feeling it must be to pass your splash brother and be half court before it goes through.
Did you see that? Listen, he threw the ball to Clay and started turning around right away. Somebody need to take a picture of that, and that is like the shooting version of D-Wade throwing the ball up and LeBron dunking it and D-Wade running off like this. So that is, you know what? That's a trust fall, Hannah. That's a trust fall. Steph Curry could stand at the top of the arena and fall into Klay Thompson's arms because he know when his splash brother get the rock and nobody around him and those feet are set, it is hitting the bottom of the net. Now, it was early in the game and they were feeling good. We didn't have much of this happening late in the game, but at that point, I thought Golden State was going to win it. Jason Tatum was shooting the ball off the side of the backboard. Klay Thompson hitting threes. Steph Curry hitting threes. Otto Porter came in and hit threes. It's a great picture. Too bad it won't be a picture for the win. And that's why we're talking about Jason Tatum's sport coat and not Steph Curry and Klay Thompson's great shooting.
Oh, all right. VC, what'd you think about that play?
I mean, that's just what they do. And that's, like he said, that's all confidence. That's just believing in your guy. And they've been around long enough. He knows if Klay has the ball lined up in the scenes, you see it. Oh, one, two, step. Yeah, what are we looking at here? Buckets. And you can see it's vice versa.
Go.
When Klay throws the ball to Steph and he's somewhat wide open, look at that. He just run down the court and he's just listening for the crowd. That's when he knows he made it.
Man, you can't watch that enough.
The only thing I wish he had done, if you watch it, like Steph, like he starts jogging and he did just sort of give it a glance. But he just should have just kept running straight line. Never even looked back. Right? You can see as he gets to half court. Right about there, he glances back.
Right there, yeah.
Right? Just gave a little look.
Just had to be sure.
But I feel, man, maybe I ever threw me the ball like that in a game and just
because he didn't hear the crowd yet.
On defense, it's a good feeling.
Oh, man. RC, so you've been talking hoops. Let's bring in this crew here because they want to talk a little football with you, all right? We're going to turn the tables.
Yep.
It's a brand new segment, and it is called, and this is brilliant, it's called I've Got a Question. So our resident Bucks fan on the show is Vince Carter. Vince, the stage is yours.
RC, I've got a question. So what does Brady and the Bucks what does Brady and the Bucks need and have to do to win the Super Bowl this year?
You know what, Vince? It was so crazy. Everybody focuses on Brady and what the offense is. But if you think back to that Super Bowl run, this defense played at an elite level. Now Todd Bowles is the head coach. He's going to be defensive-minded, and he's going to let Tom Brady and Byron Leftwich do what they need to do on offense. This defense has to get back to what they were doing that playoff run, which was Devin White being the best middle linebacker in the game, a secondary that was suffocating on the outside and in the middle of the field. Now that you add Logan Ryan and Pat pass rush. If the Tampa Bay Buccaneers can get back to that, you know that Tom Brady is going to do his thing. You know Tom Brady will be everything he needs to be as the GOAT, which we saw him down the stretch against the Rams in that loss. But if this defense doesn't get back to who they were in the playoffs 2 years ago, we won't see Tom Brady hoist another sticky Lombardi.
All right, no Vince, no follow.
No, but he didn't even mention Gronkowski. We need him in the red zone. I'm done.
This is now turned into NFL Live. Okay, all right. Gronk, we need Gronk back. Really quick, because Legs has a question about Washington.
I got one. We're going to do this sports talk radio style. Hi, Ryan. This is Tim, longtime suffering Washington fan, first-time caller, long-time listener. I want to ask you, listen, my organization, more nicknames than Shaquille O'Neal over the last 3 years. I want to ask about our quarterback situation. Should I be excited about Carson Wentz coming in and taking the helm?
Well, you should be excited because he's better than any quarterback that you have had recently. But you also have to know that Carson Wentz can play in the negatives for his teams in critical moments, like we saw him last year against the Jaguars late in the season, against the Raiders late in the season. What you should be excited about is your skill positions. You're great at running back. Logan Thomas at tight end. Your receiver core gets a boost with a first-round draft pick, already having Samuel, already having a guy on the outside that can make plays in McLaurin. If Carson Wentz plays within him, himself, you have a chance to compete in the NFC East, but it's all about him being willing to let the game come to him and not forcing it in the huge moments.
All right, thanks, RC. Thank you, Tim from Washington. Thank you, Vince from Tampa, to all of you. That was fun. All right, tomorrow night, here's our top-ranked boxing main event. American Devin Haney is taking on Aussie George Kambosos, a junior, for the undisputed light heavyweight championship in Melbourne. Coverage of the main card begins at 9 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Plus in both English and Spanish. First Take is coming up next. What did Stephen A. think about that epic Celtics comeback and the Warriors collapse last night? It's First Take with Molly, Stephen A., Big Perk, coming up next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
The big fella, Chris Canty, is here. The even bigger fella, Amari Stoudemire.
I'm not sure about bigger.
Very small today.
Brooke Pryor making her premiere at the Seaport. How about that?
Could anything be more amusing than Zach ranting, "I don't really care"?
Whoa.
While the big fella is fanning himself, "I don't really care."
Whoa. Hey, G, you know why I'm fanning myself?
The proper answer to this question is, who cares?
Huh?
Sue me.
Jeez. Whoa.
This is worse than picking my outfit tonight.
This is America in 2022.
The very question, Greeny, makes me sick to my stomach.
Just answer the question.
No.
I don't want to offend any of the basketball guys, but none of these football players are sitting out with thigh bruises.
Dan, what are we doing?
They're not sitting out because they got a little contusion.
What are we doing here?
You fight through pain.
Rob!
You're trying to be a leader. You're trying to win another championship.
Rob!
What are we doing? We have to have a post-show meeting at which everyone is going to be yelling at each other.
I don't care. This is amazing.
Are we still on television?
Yes, we're still on television.
Are we, though? Meanwhile, on planet Earth, Cardinals, Cubs, epic beer tower going on. Vince Carter, look at the security guard. Oh.
He's like, excuse me, guys, that's enough here. Let me just get this out of the way. You're not supposed to do this here. This is not Build-A-Blocks. This is not Legoland.
All that work gone by the wayside like a literal buzzkill.
That's unfortunate.
There.
I'm going to be mad.
VC, you have a great weekend. The rest of you as well. First Take coming up.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.